ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 2, Text 59. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinaha rasavarjam rasopyasya Parangdrishtva nivartate Vishaya vinivartante Nihara niraharasya dehinaha Rasavarjam rasopyasya Parang drishtva nivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But seizing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Unless one is transcendentally situated, it is not possible to cease from sense enjoyment. The process of restriction from sense enjoyment by rules and regulations is something like restricting a diseased person from certain types of eatables. The patient, however, neither likes such restrictions nor loses his taste for eatables. Similarly, sense restriction by some spiritual process like Ashtanga Yoga in the matter of Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, etc. There's only one more stage, samadhi, is recommended for less intelligent persons who have no better knowledge. But one who has tasted the beauty of the Supreme Lord Krishna in the course of his advancement in Krishna consciousness no longer has a taste for dead material things. Therefore, restrictions are there for the less intelligent neophytes in the spiritual advancement of life, but such restrictions are only good until one actually has a taste for Krishna consciousness. When one is actually Krishna conscious, he automatically loses his taste for pale things. The process of restriction from sense enjoyment by rules and regulations is something like restricting a diseased person from certain types of eatables. The patient, however, neither likes such restrictions nor loses his taste for eatables. Well, that reminds us of the Sunday feast and of high, eating things he shouldn't eat and getting sick. It just goes to show the point. Exactly. I mean, this is not just theoretical philosophy, but we have a case in point that people, they, even though they know something is not going to be good for them, because of the immediate attraction, they indulge in it. And then they suffer. So this Bhagavad Gita is supposed, Krishna is speaking it so that we can, by the intelligence, understand our position in this material existence and go beyond that to the higher existence of Krishna consciousness. This is a very important verse. It's one of those verses that everyone who is a brahmana, a preacher, a practitioner of Krishna consciousness should know, or even if we don't know the Sanskrit, should at least know the principle behind it. It's most important because it discusses rasa. The word rasa comes up twice in this verse. Now we may think that, well, rasa, well, that's on a very high level, but actually everything we do at every moment, every endeavor we make, is all for the sake of rasa. Now you might have noticed that in this purport, Srila Prabhupada, he uses the word taste a lot. One who has tasted the beauty of the Supreme Lord. So what does that mean, to taste the beauty? In ordinary usage, we don't usually talk about tasting beauty. But the word taste is used here in the sense of getting some pleasurable experience. Of course, taste can also be unpleasurable. Bitter medicine. Medicine that tastes so bad that it's very difficult to taste, to take. But this is stated in the way of devotees taste the beauty of Krishna. Non-devotees, they cannot imagine what is that. And envious people, if they see the beauty of Krishna, they become more envious. Just like in this material world, in material existence, if there's a very beautiful woman, other women may envy her. People who are connoisseurs of mundane beauty, they may like to see the beauty of a woman. Just like before the age of photography, a common theme for paintings was nude women. That was the pre-photographic age pornography. So people could look and relish that beauty, skin-deep beauty. So one who has tasted the beauty of the Supreme Lord, Krishna, in the course of his advancement in Krishna consciousness, no longer has a taste for dead material things. Again, the word taste. Restrictions are there for the less intelligent neophytes in the spiritual advancement of life, but such restrictions are only good unless one actually has a taste for Krishna consciousness. When one is actually in Krishna consciousness, he automatically loses his taste for pale things. So the word taste or affinity for, that word is there, ruchi, that comes up again and again and again. Aparada guchi shuddhaname ruche kripa bale hobe hridaye sancha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying to get the taste. But what is it to be tasted? It's the rasa, harinama rasa. Now, rasa, like I say, we're thinking discussion of rasa is on a very high level. But actually, rasa, we're always experiencing rasa. And that's why Krishna says to come from the mundane rasa to the spiritual rasa. One has to get a higher level. This discussion of taste and how we are always looking for some taste is discussed by Srila Prabhupada in his introduction to the Nectar of Devotion, which is his rendition of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So the central topic of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is rasa, specifically Bhakti Rasa. So the book called the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it literally means the ocean of the nectar of Bhakti Rasa. So, well, saying this, the translation, but the word bhakti and rasa remained untranslated. Rasa is a difficult word to translate because there's no exact equivalent in English. So I'll read one paragraph here from the Nectar of Devotion introduction. Srila Prabhupada writes, "Every one of us within this material world is perpetually engaged in some sort of service. And the impetus for such service is the pleasure we derive from it." And then Srila Prabhupada gives some examples. "Driven by affection for his wife and children, a family man works day and night." Why do people work? Driven by affection. So he gets some taste from serving the family members. "A philanthropist works in the same way for love of the greater family. and a nationalist for the cause of his country and countrymen. That force which drives the philanthropist, the force, why are people going to work? Why are people giving in charity? Why is someone sacrificing his time and energy for the nation? That force which drives the philanthropist, the householder, and the nationalist is called rasa, or a kind of mellow relationship whose taste is very sweet. Bhakti rasa is a mellow, different from the ordinary rasa enjoyed by mundane workers. Mundane workers labor very hard day and night in order to relish a certain kind of rasa which is understood as sense gratification. The relish or taste of the mundane rasa does not long endure, and therefore mundane workers are always apt to change their position of enjoyment. So this is the point of this niraha rasya deha. Vishaya vinivartante niraha rasya deha harasa vajang rasopyasya parangdrishva nivartate. That everyone is experiencing some kind of rasa. Mundane workers, by mundane workers, Srila Prabhupada means everyone in material existence. Not just by the English word worker, we generally think of a factory worker or an office worker, but even the boss is a worker because he's working. So they're working because they're getting a taste. They get some pleasure. Actually, that pleasure is largely what Prahlad Maharaj calls shuti sukh, or it's heard of as being pleasurable. It's not actually pleasurable, but it's advertised as being pleasurable. And because people don't know anything else, even though it's not actually very pleasurable, they become addicted to that. But bhakti ras is of a different, it's the original rasa, and if one gets a taste, as Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport, for the beauty of Krishna consciousness, the beauty of Krishna, in the course of his advancement, then he's no longer attracted to the lower things. So rasa is not something just someone who's in the pure devotee, but everyone is experiencing rasa or attempting to experience rasa. But there is a difference, because there's the original rasa is bhakti rasa. That's pure spiritual rasa, which completely satisfies. Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshaje ahaitukya pratihata yayatma suprasidati. That which completely satisfies the soul, that means that which satisfies our thirst for pleasure, for being happy, is service, unmotivated and uninterrupted service to the transcendent Lord. So that is the highest dharma for all living beings. Another quote from Srila Prabhupada's introduction to the Nectar of Devotion: bhukti means material enjoyment, and mukti means to become freed from material anxiety and to become one with the Lord. These desires are compared to being haunted by ghosts and witches, because while these aspirations for material enjoyment or spiritual oneness with the Supreme remain, no one can relish the actual transcendental taste of devotional service. So in another way, it's making the point, that the same point as this Bhagavad Gita verse. This is actually Srila Prabhupada's rendition of a verse by Srila Rupa Goswami, which is there in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Bhukti mukti spriha yavat pishachi hridi vartate tavat bhakta sukhasyatram katam abhyudayo bhavet. It's actually it's a statement in the form of a question. It's a rhetorical question. That as long as the desires for material enjoyment or liberation from material existence, which are like bhukti mukti spriha yavat, which are like witches, or ghosts within the heart. As long as they remain within the heart, where is the question of relishing the happiness of Krishna consciousness? So this, the original consciousness is Krishna consciousness, and that is bhakti rasa. And that Krishna says, here we have to attain that to overcome the attraction to material existence. So like I say, it's not just something on the very high level, but that's what we're doing, sadhana, isn't it? We're doing sadhana. The aim is to be in contact with Krishna through hearing, chanting, serving, so many things, and gradually attain a taste for that. So we'll no longer be attracted to the lower taste. So what is that bhakti rasa? I said it's difficult to define. In English, there's no one English word or even really a concept that covers that. But we find in the field of what is called Indian philosophy, or not just philosophy, but dramaturgy. Actually, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is very much based, the Rupa Goswami's rasa theory, we could call it. It's that is, at least from the mundane chronological view standpoint, that is taken from or predicated upon the rasa theory, which is there before Rupa Goswami outlaid it, which is in the Natya Shastra, or that part of Shastra which deals with dramatics. And dramatics, what is that? In a drama, it's a matter of conveying emotions, isn't it, to the audience in a drama? So there are all kinds of different emotions are brought out in the drama, and that's supposed to be conveyed to the audience. So that's already, there was a long tradition of analysis of poetry, which has the same desired effect. Poetry is not for conveying information, but it's for conveying emotion. So there's a whole study of the whole study of rasa, but it's mundane. And Rupa Goswami, he gave the original bhakti rasa, but from the historical point of view, it appears to be an appropriation of the bhakti of the rasa, the mundane rasa. So, and there are typical of the Indian intellectual endeavors. There are different fields of poetics or interpretation or interpretation of rasa. Where is the ashray? Where is the rasa actually? Is it in the drama? Is it in the actor, or is it in the audience, or this and that? Anyway, Rupa Goswami gives the definition of rasa. He has given vyatitya bhavana varma yas chamatkara bhara bhuhu hridi sat vojvale bardham svadate saraso mataha. So what is it? That means it should be something that we can conceptualize, isn't it? If we're going to talk about something, it should be something that we can conceptualize. But Rupa Goswami says, vyatitya bhavana vartma. It's beyond conceptualization. We can give some idea of it, but we can't exactly define it. But this much we can say, Rupa Goswami says, that it is very deeply wonderful. Wonderful to a very great extent. And that bhakti rasa that arises in a pure heart, and it is known as rasa. So it gives some idea. Exactly definition, what to speak of in English, even in Sanskritam, some idea is given. It's not something which can be exactly defined. Just like we can say, what is love? What is love? Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Prema Nam. The desire to satisfy Krishna's transcendental senses is called prema, or pure love. But that just gives, it's a very complex and variegated phenomenon. So there's some idea is given. And it's something to be experienced. It can be described, but it's something to be experienced. Just like the honey, one can analyze it. This is the chemical composition. But one actually has to taste it to understand what is the taste of honey. So, in the same way, one has to taste rasa. Then one can experience it. Otherwise, it can be analyzed, but it remains to be to become real to the person unless it's actually experienced. But then, on the other hand, we are always experiencing rasa. Everything we do is for the sake of rasa. But then, we have to see whether it's the real rasa, the bhakti rasa. Actually, in bhakti rasa, we do everything for the sake of Krishna. And then by Krishna's grace, we experience the happiness. And in material life, we ourselves want to enjoy rasa. So that's the difference. So that's why Krishna's name, very important, Rasika Shekha. He is the topmost of all enjoyers of rasa. But devotees also enjoy, but as secondary enjoyers. Devotees, we were reading this morning, Srimad Bhagavatartanam Asvado, what's the next word? Rasikai Saha. The meanings of Srimad Bhagavatam should be relished in the association of Rasika devotees. So that is Srimad Bhagavatam, it is a Rasa Shastra. It's Tattva, giving philosophical knowledge of Krishna, or say philosophical knowledge, or giving information about Krishna, we can say. From the very beginning, that information about Krishna, Janmadhyasa Yaton Vyadhyataratas Chathesh Vavignyaswarat, and in the first verse of Bhagavatam gives more information about the personality of Godhead than Bible, Quran, and all these put together. But then by the third verse, we find out that it's not just information, but it's highly relishable, or relishable. Not that the tattva gyan and the rasa gyan are separate. They're intertwined. At one level, much of the bhakti rasa devotees enjoy is considering how great Krishna is, but how kind he is to favor us, who are very little beings. So anyway, the Srimad Bhagavatam, that is Rasa Shastra. Nigama Kalpato Galitam Palam Shukamakadam Ratadrava Sangyatam. It's become even sweet. This ripened fruit of the desire tree of Vedic knowledge has become even sweeter when touched by Shukdev Goswami. So therefore, what should you do with it? Look at it, analyze it, drink it. Drink it means to taste it. Pibhata Bhagavata Rasamalayam. Up to the last moment of your life, just like we say the materialists, they're so foolish, up to the last moment of life, they simply want to enjoy sense gratification. But devotees, up to the last moment of life, they relish the taste of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhakti Rasa. And then they relish being with Krishna directly, muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavaka. So the enjoyment is there to go on relishing the taste of Krishna consciousness. Now, it's something to be experienced, but at the same time, practically the major part of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is a systematic analysis of what is rasa. You could say an intellectual analysis. So that devotees can relish better what is pure devotional service, what is love of Krishna, and also so that they can identify what is actual Krishna consciousness or what is actual bhakti rasa, to distinguish from that mundane rasa which binds us in this material world. So this is the point of this Gita shloka. The whole Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu can be said from the point of view of us in this material world who are trying to go to Krishna in the spiritual world. The whole of Bhakti, from our perspective, the whole of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is a guidebook based on this verse. This Vishaya Vinivartante Niraha Rasya Dehinaha Rasavarjan Rasopyasya Parangdrishva Nivartate. That we have to come from the taste for material enjoyment to the taste for loving Krishna and serving Krishna. So in the beginning, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu describes the process of sadhana bhakti, by which, by rules and regulations, we come in contact with Krishna. But there's some taste even to do that. Of course, someone can be forced, just like a child you can force, chant your rounds. Otherwise, you're not going to get any sweets. So he's not getting any rasa from chanting Hare Krishna, but he wants the rasa from eating sweets. Otherwise, you're only going to get rice and dal, nothing else. So he wants the rasa of nice food, so he chants. So that's some kind of force, or by beating, that's not recommended, but you can beat someone. Chant Hare Krishna will beat you. So that can be done by force, but it doesn't appeal to the heart. So if we're taking up Krishna consciousness, we have all here voluntarily accepting Krishna consciousness because we're getting some taste from it. There must be some taste, otherwise we can't continue. And we are enlivened by the prospect of being fully absorbed in the diving and surfacing in the nectar of pure devotion. What is that? Gora prema rashanave jetarange jibardube. What's the next line? Shri Radha Madhavantaranga, I think it is. I can't remember. Anyway, the point is that Narottam Das talks about those who are diving and surfacing in the ocean of the of love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that ocean is the hope of drowning it. Why are we chanting Hare Krishna? Because we want to drown in the ocean. Strange. Drown in the ocean of nectar of Krishna consciousness. So the various ingredients, they're called the ingredients of rasa, or it's difficult to define exactly, but we can talk about the symptoms of rasa. What gives rise to rasa? What are the bhavs or the various emotions? So in the pure spiritual rasa, there are five rasas, or sometimes considered four, sometimes considered five, because one of them is neutral, which is not. It's not very tasty. It's like eating food with no taste. Something is there, but it's not so relishable. So the various rasas, one can serve Krishna according to the Dasya Rati, Sakya Rati, Vatsalya Rati or Shringarati, from which are derived Dasya Ras, Sakya Ras, the Vatsalya Ras, and the Shringa or Madhura or Madhurya Rasa. And one's feelings in serving Krishna in that way is called one's sthayi bhav, one's constitutional position in service to Krishna. Jivesha rupoi Krishna netta das. Every living being is by nature an eternal servant of Krishna, but it's not stereotyped. Everyone has their own individual personal relationship with Krishna and serves Krishna in that way and identifies himself in that way. Not just identifies himself, but that actually is the situation. Mukti hitvanyata rupam swarupa inavyavastitihi. Mukti, real mukti, is to be liberated from these asthayi bhavs, liberated from the thought, just like now, I think that, who am I? I am a male citizen of Croatia who lives in Zagreb. These are all anitya upadis, or temporary designations. I know it's not temporary. I am a male citizen of Croatia, and I've lived in Zagreb all my life. But it is temporary because the body is temporary, Croatia is temporary, everything in this world is temporary. But we identify it as being our real constitutional position. But mukti, to be liberated from these false designations, means we become situated in our own real designation. And in that situation, it's spoken about dasya ras, sakya ras, vatsalya ras, madhura ras. But that's the general spiritual designation. But then one has one's own personal service to Krishna. And there, it's not that ras, the tastes, the various tastes, they're constantly changing. That's why, yes, chamatkara bhara bhu. It's always giving rise to amazing feelings within the heart. The adbhuta ras is that adbhut, that amazement that comes from chamatkar, that's something which is wonderful. So that's always there. It's always fresh. It's every new. Krishna's friends, every day, they get up and they run to Krishna to see Krishna. It's always new and fresh for them, as if they'd never seen Krishna. They feel that we're getting our old friend who we didn't see for all of one night. It doesn't become stereotyped. They always feel fresh and enlivened. That's a good test for us also. Srila Prabhupada talks about spontaneous devotional service. Here in this world, we can experience that. And then in the beginning, we may follow the rules and regulations of bhakti yoga, just as follow the rules, okay, get up. But then when one feels enlivened, oh yes, I want to get up and go to Mangalati and chant my rounds, that means becoming advanced. So we can see ourselves, if we wake up in the morning, think, oh no, I have to get up again. But rather think, oh great, Mangalati, Jai, let's go. So that means we're making some progress. We're getting a taste for it. So there are various manifestations of ras. Sometimes you feel, sometimes there's laughter, hasya rasa. Sometimes there may be some feeling of disgust, even. That's also one kind of bhakti rasa. Now, in material existence, disgust is something horrible, but in spiritual existence, that is, everything is tasty. Just like we talk about bitter medicine, but in the Vedic cookery or what's the word, gourmandis, then bitterness, bitter taste, that's also something relishable. One has to know how to relish it. One has to acquire the taste for that. So that which gives rise to ecstasy is vibhava. That's a general term. And then within that, there are divisions also. So it's a very complex science. And then there are the symptoms of ecstasy. Anubhav. So that, just like if there's hasya ras, then the rasa of laughter, then the symptoms is the lips become curled up, the teeth show. This is all examined in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the Nectar of Devotion. There are different levels of laughing. Remember reading that? There's just when the lip is slightly curled up, and then little bit the lips are curled and the teeth begin to show, and then there's full-fledged laughing, and then there's uproarious laughing. So this is all analyzed, the anubhavs. And then there may be bodily transformation, sattvic bhava, this is called. When one is completely overtaken by emotions. And then there are further transformations, vyabhichari bhav. So there are all these technical terms. So all these combined together, that gives rise to rasa. Now, the material rasa, right? The whole subject here is going beyond the material rasa, getting a higher taste. But the problem is that the material rasa, it's a perverted reflection, but it's a reflection, and it seems like the real thing. But we always have to remember it's a reflection. Just like we might see a pot of sweet rice in a mirror and think, oh, that looks great, but we can't enjoy it. We can only think we can enjoy it. By looking at it, it looks relishable. Or say in a photograph, or that same example I was given, the painting of the nude woman. It excites the thought of enjoyment, but we can't actually enjoy it. We say, well, if we get an actual nude woman, then we can enjoy it. But that's also a reflection of the real thing. And actually the real thing is that we're supposed to serve Radha and Krishna, not that we ourselves enjoy. The reflections, the perverse perverted reflections of items that we can enjoy in this world, we think we can enjoy it, but actually we can't enjoy it because we're not meant to enjoy. The vibhav, or that which gives rise to rasa, what is that vibhav? It's Krishna himself. And Krishna, his flute playing, his name, these are all udipanas. But Krishna himself is that which gives rise to rasa. And if we forget Krishna, then we want to try to enjoy the things which are actually meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. But we can't, because they're all in the spiritual world and they're meant for Krishna. So Krishna arranges this material world that we can try to enjoy here. But it's all a farce. It can't actually happen. But we identify with it. It seems to be the same thing. That's why, again, if we don't get a clear understanding, then we hear about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and we think it's like some mundane interaction between a mundane male and female. That's why we have to understand very clearly what is the differentiation between material and spiritual. What is the differentiation between mundane rasa and spiritual rasa? So the common example of actually rasa functions on two levels. One is with objects and the other is with people. Now, just like we can enjoy the rasa, the sweet taste, the madhur rasa of a sweet. But we can, that's one kind of rasa, that's a sensual rasa, but then there's an emotional rasa. We don't have an emotional interaction with a sweet, but not in the sense, it's a sensual interaction. With humans, we have a complex emotional interaction. Now, if you give the sweet to someone, then that becomes the source of an emotional interaction. But you don't, when you say, I love sweets, it's not the same as, I love my girlfriend. The same word is used, and it's a similar feeling. It's a feeling of pleasure. But one is relatively simple, and the other is complex. So we have a natural tendency to enjoy sweetness. That's something like sthayi bhav. There's the sweetness of a sweet, and the sweetness of relationships. So we have a natural tendency to want to enjoy it. And the sweet itself is the vibhav. When we see it, we think, "Oh, I'd like to eat that." And then there are terms, Vishaya and Ashraya. Krishna is the Vishaya of praying. Krishna is the object of love, and the love is in the heart of the devotee. So the devotee is the Ashraya. The devotee is the love resides in the heart of the devotee, and the object of love is Krishna. So in the same way, actually it's all in the mind, but the tongue becomes the immediate instrument of the attachment to sweetness. And the qualities of sweetness, or the sweetness itself, is the subject to which we become attached. So that's mundane. The sweet is sweet, therefore we want to enjoy it. Krishna is sweet, so we want to enjoy Krishna. We want to taste Krishna, the experience of Krishna. And that feeling, I want to love Krishna, that love of Krishna, that's in the heart of the devotee, or in the mind, in the mundane sense, it's in the mind of the materialist. So, talking about the sweet, oh, there are fantastic sweets, oh, and just even hearing about the sweet, that we may start to salivate and think, oh yeah, I want to enjoy it. So same thing, hearing about Krishna, oh, Krishna is going with the cows, playing his flute, and that awakens a desire in the heart of the devotee to relish that sweetness. Oh, well, seeing the sweet, we just see, oh, it looks so nice, smells so nice. So the same thing, Krishna looks so nice. Krishna smells so nice. The sound of his flute. All these are the udipans, or the factors which give rise to attraction to Krishna. And it enhances the attachment of the devotee to Krishna. All this is analyzed in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Then, while eating the sweet, a person, he chose the anubhav, just like in Bhakti Rasamrita says, the anubhav of the different emotions that a person is not just experienced, but that's expressed. So someone says, very nice. So that's the expression, the anubhav, the symptoms of happiness. And then he feels some pleasure. So that's a perverse reflection of the sattvic bhav, the joy, or the pleasure he gets from eating the sweet. And then there are other feelings that someone may have, some emotion. Yeah, you were questioning that. There's some feeling. Oh, I'm so fortunate to, so lucky to have such a nice sweet. So that's the other emotions come in, like vyabhichari bhav. So in this way, one is tasting material rasa. And if one is eating a prasadam sweet, then we can think, Krishna Bharadoyamai, Kari Bare Jiva Joy, Shaprasad Anadelo Bhai. Krishna is very merciful to give me this sweet. And we think this is Krishna's mercy upon me. And we think this is the remnants of Krishna's food. So a devotee relishes bhakti rasa. He also enjoys the taste of the sweet. I've heard it said, it may not be true, but I've heard it said that Srila Prabhupada is said to have said, and we used to hear this a lot in the old days, that Srila Prabhupada used to say that if you have attachment to anything in this material world, even to one sweet ball, then you can't go back to Godhead, then you have to go to you can't go to Krishna, you have to remain in this material world. So then the devotee says, so what do we do if we have attachment to one sweet ball and that keeps us in the material world? Prabhupada said, offer it to Krishna, take prasad. It's maybe not a true story, but you get the point there. Now, in mundane existence, there's no real taste. It's stale, but we don't know anything else. Therefore, we go on taking it because we crave rasa, we crave taste, we crave happiness. We don't know anything else. So therefore, even though there's nothing really there, we want to get it. So even though we're taking sweets, and when you take one gulab jamun, oh, so nice and tasty. Take another one. How many can you take before you start to feel, wait a minute, that's enough. The great days of ISKCON gulab jamun eating contests are over. I guess. They don't even make gulab jamuns anymore, do they? But you make them here, good. Sahotra Swami, the champion gulab jamun eating contest. But how many can you eat before the first one's great, the second one's great, the third one's, yeah, great, the fourth one's, yeah, good, the fifth one, wait a minute, I'm getting a bit full up here. It doesn't taste as relishable as the first. Then when you get to 10, if you can get to 10, you do, and then. But then you may go on taking it anyway, because there's a feeling. The first one I took was so good, so I want to go on taking it. You're going to get sick, Prabhu. And anyway, somehow the mind tricks us into thinking, I want to take more and more. Something happens like that, right? And then we have to suffer. Even though we know we're going to suffer, we go on taking. Because we're not relishing our original love of Krishna. Okay, I'll finish here. We can continue this important subject tomorrow, Krishna willing. All right? Yeah. Yeah, better ask tomorrow. I should finish in one more session. It's somewhat technical stuff, but it's important to understand. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.